Mercedes, why chip Ricky?
Zebra left, 75 Katie, Omaha. We're going.
The Sleeper Wire Pro-Am is back.
It's time to go eat, baby.
This is our third season and the biggest one yet. We had two leagues last year, and we're looking to double that this year. You, the listeners, get to play in a real fantasy football league with pros and shows from around the industry. Last year, we had a great roster. We had Marcus Grant, Jake Seeley, Matt Harmon, Sleeperbot, the Fantasy Football Fellas, Eat Sleep Fantasy, and many more. And we're expanding that to include more pros and shows than ever.
Stop talking about it, man. Let's get this going right now.
Visit www.sleeperwire.com/proam for more details. Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am your host, Professor Chris, and I am super pumped to introduce and welcome back our very special guest, Jake Seeley, senior writer at Roto Experts. You can find him on Twitter at AllInKid, and he's a host on the On Target podcast. Jake, what's going on, man?
It's getting back into the swing of things. It's ever since the draft, it's been almost nonstop. Not quite as bad as the full season, but and I know you guys know what it's like.
Yeah, are you busier the week before the draft or the week after?
Oh, the week before. Well, no, not the week before. So the week of is as busy as about 3 weeks before, because 3 weeks before is when I release all my pre-draft breakdowns. So yeah, that month, basically all of March and then that first week of April when I finally publish them, that's when I'm slammed. And then I get a little bit of a relief, and then the week of the draft, because Thursday and Friday night, I'm updating like instant analysis on the skill position players. So then once Monday hits and I do my complete write-up, then I get to breathe again.
Right.
Oh, yeah. On the during the nights of the draft, I was on Twitter as well tweeting about a bunch of stuff, and you were popping up on my timeline as much as Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport were.
Right. I know. The worst part about it was there was no like consistent flow to the first round. It was like, all right, skill position, three offensive linemen, or something like that. It was like bam, 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 skill position, and then a huge gap of like 10 picks. I'm like, can we just balance it out so I'm not going crazy?
No, they know we're up. They know we're watching. They don't care.
No, they don't.
We did a live show during the first round? And we have 3 hours of radio show each day. And we ran out before, I think, the 25th pick. So so we had to end the show, unfortunately. And I also have Prophet Hoos. What's going on, man?
What's up, Chris, man? It's a teacher appreciation week, professor appreciation week. I hope that applies. So thank you, Professor Chris, for being out there and doing the good kids some justice by, you know, failing them or passing them.
That's why I got stupid Chipotle tweet.
I like the jazz.
The Chipotle. Oh, okay.
Yeah, real quick. This is has nothing to do with fantasy sports. Right. Chipotle aggravates the hell out of me with their offers, and I'm saying quotes when I say offers because they don't ever send anything. Half the time when they do, it's like, hey, if you spend $500 in catering, you can get a free burrito. Like, enjoy whatever. And then they send one out, and there was the, you know, buy one, get one free for teachers. And I'm like, oh, that's not bad. But it's from like 3 to 6. Like, who's going to Chipotle for between 3 and 6?
Yeah, all those teachers are still at school, lesson planning and grading.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
stop for lunch at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Thanks.
Yeah, it's been kind of nice. This was my last semester at Ball State, I just finished grading my last class's finals. You mentioned Teacher Appreciation Week. I only got 2 emails from students asking me to bump their grade up, which is like a record low. Normally, it's like, yeah, I know I missed 15 classes and I didn't turn in half of the homework, and I know we took the final, but is there anything I can do for extra credit? I can make up all the homework assignments tonight if you want me to.
Try that when you get a job. Hey, I know I've only worked 13 hours and it's Friday, but I can make the rest up today.
Yeah. Right. Oh, man. People, it's just millennials, right? Hey, I'm on the tail end of it, apparently.
I would say more so than not, but there's plenty of – I'll sidetrack this for another 15 minutes. I can't do that. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I actually saw a tweet from Chris saying that as well, that it's not just millennials. They're adults as well. So.
Oh, yeah. I teach a community college class as well, and there are adults in there in their 50s and one even in their 60s, and they talk just as much as the 18-year-olds out of high school.
At least the baby boomers say what they're saying. Like, I'm so annoyed with, 25 and under. Like, just say what you feel. Like, just don't screw us around for, I'm not just talking about girls. I'm just talking about, human beings in general. I had somebody the other day, this past week, I was trying to do a podcast. Yeah, man, I'm totally interested. Definitely coming on the podcast. And I hinted to it on the podcast. And then he ghosts me. Just say you're not coming on, or just ignore me in general. Like, I've been ignored by athletes. I can deal with it. Just say what don't say you're interested and excited to come on and then ghost me. That's that's the dickiest move of the dicks.
All right, guys. Well, we need to get into some fantasy football.
We're all through.
So let's rein it in a bit.
Sorry about the teacher appreciation.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Starting off with our quick question as usual, and Jake, I'll throw this one to you first. Which player have you risen on since the NFL draft?
Oh, since the NFL draft, I think, Christian McCaffrey was moving up until today with C.J. Anderson, so that was one there. But I think if you're looking outside of that, I would say McKinnon to me, although a lot of people already had McKinnon going crazy high in second round and third round. I was more hesitant because I still thought there would be a lot more timeshare. I still think it's there. I still think you don't want McKinnon touching the ball 20-plus times a game. I think he's going to settle into a Lamar Miller type of volume. And if what we've seen from Lamar Miller is he works best in that 15 to 20 touch range. When you start giving 20-plus is when he starts to falter. I think that's the same with McKinnon. I've seen a lot of him. I actually saw him in college. I saw him be part of the Georgia Southern team that ran for 600 yards on my Old Dominion Monarch. So that was a lot of fun.
So you've risen the most on Jarrett McKinnon. What about you, Hoos?
I'm kind of on board with Jake with the Lamar Miller thing. So I'd probably say Matt Breida at this point. Matt Breida had just 105 carries, and he put up just 100 yards less than Jarrett McKinnon did. And now, granted, they were on different teams, but I don't know if Matt Breida might share the workload. I was doing it, because I was really high on McKinnon before today. When I was looking at everything, and I was like, Matt Breida is I think he's going to be used very well. And he did a lot of yards. I mean, he got a lot of yardage last year. He had 407 yards on 105 carries. We might see him way more than we think we're going to see him. I know Jarrett McKinnon is going to still be used as a every down back, but Matt Breida, I mean, he might be a sleeper here. He could be a top 36 back. I know that might be super unpopular, but after looking at the numbers, I might have him as a sleeper. I think I do.
All right. And my guy, Hoos, this is going to make you happy because it's a guy that I have not been high on. I'm probably the lowest out of basically the whole fantasy world. And that was Alex Collins. Know that I was not a big fan of the guy, but the Ravens did not add anybody. So it's Collins and Buck Allen who isn't a threat to take carries away.
Right.
And then Kenneth Dixon, which I still have no idea what they're going to do with Dixon. But Alex Collins, I'm leaning more towards he could finish towards the top 15 rather than having him in the mid-20s where I likely was going to put him. All right, moving into some news here. C.J. Anderson signed a one-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. I was kind of bummed about this because as a Colts fan, I was really hoping he would come to Indy because I feel like he would really help that run game. It might be a fantasy nightmare in Indy, but as a Colts fan, I wanted him to come here. But Jake, how do you think C.J. Anderson is going to fare for fantasy? Is he going to steal too much from Christian McCaffrey?
I think he's going to be very much like Jonathan Stewart was last year. I mean, I would actually pencil in. I was working on the projections before we did this show, and I'll actually have an article tomorrow where I'm going to mention what I have for C.J. Anderson after this. But you look at what he did last year. It was pretty efficient, 4.1 yards carry. First time he ran for 1,000 yards. The touchdowns weren't there. But if you give him the Jonathan Stewart role, at this point of their career, C.J. Anderson is more explosive and has more talent left in the tank. So I think you could even take the Jonathan Stewart role and bump him 5 or 10%. Christian McCaffrey just goes back to what he was last year. The people who were saying Christian McCaffrey was going to get 150, 160, 170 rushes was conceivable before they added CJ Anderson, right. But I never was buying that because I never thought they weren't going to add somebody else. You don't want somebody like I believe in McCaffrey's talent, but you don't want him touching the ball right. that many times given the body mass index. It's there for a reason. So I think CJ Anderson is going to be probably an RB3 for most teams. It's going to be frustrating though because he's going to probably be touchdown dependent, and because the yards, if they're not there one day, you could get a week of 3 points and then next week he could get you 12.
Do you know where he finished last year in standard and PPR?
CJ Anderson? I know in standard, 20th. RB17.
Yep. What and about PPR?
In PPR, I believe, right? 21?
RB18 in PPR.
Yeah.
So mid RB2, that's kind of a surprising stat. Like, you wouldn't have thought CJ Anderson would have been a mid RB2.
1,000 yards.
He didn't feel like it to me.
No, definitely didn't. I mean, part of it was just that he got work early on. He was nice in early weeks, but you really had to move on. And if you listen to Dirty Jobs, Mike, one of our guys that's on the show, he's told us from week one, he's like, get rid of CJ Anderson, use him a week or two, get rid of the guy. He's not going to be relied upon. He was right. He's a Colts. I'm not sorry. Well, a Broncos fan that's kind of scarred. So I mean, we all do that with our players that, you know, we're with you alluded to Marlon Mack being there. You'd hope that they brought in something else. So, yeah, we're all scarred upon this. But, CJ Anderson was definitely a surprise. And I was, talking about him earlier. I'm not excited about Christian McCaffrey as much with CJ Anderson at all with this. I mean, just they you got Cam vulturing. You got CJ Anderson vulturing. I just feel like Jake was saying, he's definitely going to do more work than Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan Stewart had 400 snaps last year and 198 carries. I think CJ Anderson could get that easily. And definitely do more work.
All right, moving on here. The New Orleans Saints have released Kobe Fleener. Not really much of a surprise since they brought back Benjamin Watson. They've still got Josh Hill, so Kobe Fleener was kind of worthless at this point. The Falcons signed Matt Ryan to a 5-year, $150 million extension, which I believe makes him the highest-paid annual quarterback. Is that right? No other quarterback's gotten an average of $30 million a year?
Nope, he's the highest.
Yep. I'm not sure if he was worth it or not.
He wants to win a Super Bowl now, too, apparently.
It's the next man up. It's always going to be the next man up.
Yep. Right. Absolutely. Carson Wentz from that ACL injury told Good Morning Football that his goal is to be ready week one. I'm not sure this is news. I would assume that any player's goal is to be ready the first week, personally. But, it came out as an alert. So
I love how you put that. Yeah, my goal is to be healthy by week 8, whatever.
Yeah. Yep, I just want to play this season.
Yeah. I just want to play this at any point.
Yep. So we have some coach speak, which I'm wondering if it's not so much coach speak as I thought it was when Pete Carroll was originally talking up Rashad Penny. He said that he envisions Penny being used on all three downs this season. This is not the first time he's called him a three-down back.
No, great. And funny enough, I actually tweeted about this last night. It's like, where have you guys heard that before? Because I said it before the draft and after the draft and during the draft when the pick was made. And what's her face? I forgot her name. The one that covers the Seahawks. It starts with an L. Do you guys know? You're supposed to help me out. You're supposed to save me on this.
No. Yeah, we were supposed to say it immediately. But
yeah, so I'm floundering like a fish on the deck over here.
Well, Professor Chris is looking that up as I'm trying to buy some time with us. I don't know it.
There you go. She covers the Seahawks for ESPN.
There we go.
And she came back and said Pete Carroll 51 and a half times. And I said, I wasn't trying to come at you. It was actually really good. Well, I was making a tongue-in-cheek point that I have been saying the entire time, because that's what I do.
But no, you do. You do.
Yeah, Rashad Penny's terrific. He is a three-down back. He does have the power and the explosives and everything you want. And the people worried about the offensive line forget they traded for Dwayne Brown. They brought in DJ Fluker, who can't pass block worth a damn, but he can definitely run block. I think people are not realizing the potential here.
Well, and the fact that Chris Carson was good even behind a crap O-line, and Mike Davis was good behind a crap O-line, and Thomas Rawls put up big games behind a crap O-line. Like, it is the worst offensive line in the NFL, but they've still had running backs be successful.
Got Russell Wilson.
Yep, absolutely. All right, moving on here. An arrest warrant was issued for Robbie Anderson for a misdemeanor reckless driving charge, but his attorney came back the next day and said that the warrant had been lifted, which is good news that he didn't get in more legal trouble, I guess.
Love it.
Still waiting to determine if he's going to be in prison for a good part of the season. But We'll keep you guys filled in there. And lastly here, Cardinals reporter Mike Jarecki reports or expects that Ricky Seals-Jones will have an expanded role in 2018. I think it's pretty easy to expect that with Sam Bradford as a quarterback.
Is he going to be the quarterback, though? I mean, I know he's paid
$20
million.
$20 million.
I know they paid him $20 million, but sometimes you pay guys because you have to have something. You have money. No. Look.
You don't pay a guy $20 million.
Chris. I've worked in a lot of jobs, unfortunately. And they give me a budget. If I don't use that budget, guess what happens to it? I lose it. So I have to use it. It doesn't matter how I use it. It doesn't matter at all.
I feel like this is a terrible parallel. What do you think, Jake? Is Sam Bradford going to start?
No. Sam Bradford will start until week three when he gets hurt. So that's really what it comes down to. But what I will say this. I will draw the parallel, at least what was being said, a little bit better of a way. And I was with the argument I was having with somebody. Well, not even an argument. It was just I kind of threw a pot shot at Elliot Crist on Twitter earlier today. It was the fact that talking about the Cleveland situation and what they ended up with Nick Chubb. He's like, well, you don't just pay that money to Carlos Hyde. I was like, remember Latavius Murray last year? And, Dalvin Cook's not going to be that good because they paid Latavius Murray all that money. Sometimes you make a move before you know what you might have in value later on.
Right. It's a necessity. So, I mean, I'll go back to where – and I didn't expand on it. I won't too much. But, yeah, you have to use your budget. I mean, it's something what the Patriots do. I mean, they just paid – not a ton of money, but they're paying Gillislee $3 million. They're playing Burkhead $3 million. They're playing James White up to $4 million. They're giving out money. Why? Because it's a positional need. You need it. So you have to use that money. Otherwise, they're going to say, the guy cutting all the checks is going to say, oh, you don't even need this. You know, and I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but it does.
Season.
No, that doesn't apply. You have to use it now. Why not use what you have? You know, you can cut guys. The NFL is not like the NBA. You can cut guys. It's not much guaranteed money. You know, like, it's
well,
really
can we agree that Sam Bradford will start game one?
Sure. He'll get injured. Game one.
He probably will, but it's no guarantee. But he will start until he's injured.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. There we go. All right, let's move into talking about some of Jake Seeley's rankings here. So you can find these at rotoexperts.com, and we're just going to go by position. So quarterbacks. I got a couple of them in here that I really agree with, and I found that I agreed with a whole lot of your rankings, even though mine aren't complete yet. But quarterbacks, Cam Newton at 3. Most people won't have him that high.
Yeah, most people continually forget the rushing ability. And when you project, see, this is the one thing for everybody that doesn't know at this point, and if anybody's heard me, you know, I've said it a million times, I rank to my projections because it takes out the biases. And the fact is, you know, I can sit here and say, well, I like Deshaun Watson better than Cam Newton, all that type of stuff. But then you go back and you look at the projections, you have to be realistic about it. So I've always done that in baseball, too. That's I take out my biases. And the fact is, if you have Cam Newton, which I do, I don't even have him for that great of a season, but I have him for over 3,600 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 600 rushing yards, and 6 rushing touchdowns, which is kind of the norm at this point. He had the higher end at some levels, and then sometimes he was hurt and banged up. But 6-6 is kind of his norm at this point. And when you project that out, it's just so much more significant when you add in the rushing factor for Cam Newton.
Yeah, I like it. And hasn't he finished as a top 4 quarterback for like 3 or 4 straight seasons?
I think there was one in there when he had the blip. He was outside of it. I think that was 2000. I want to say 15. Now you got that.
Might have been.
I'm looking.
Might have been 16 because I think 15 was his MVP season.
Yeah, 15 was his MVP season. 16 was 264. That was his dad. He's had 5 of his 7 seasons. He's been in that range. 2014 and 2016 were the down years.
Okay. All right. I gotcha. This next pick I really like because I feel like you're banking on the fact that Andrew Luck will be back and you have him ranked at 7. And I love it.
I don't love it because I don't feel great about it. Because I ranked him as 15 last year and that was still wrong. So, right. I mean, honestly, it really just comes down to if he's healthy for week one. And if he's healthy for week one, I don't even have him throw for 30 touchdowns. It could easily go past that number.
40,
so,
right. Yeah. It could be like 55.
I wouldn't say that much. That's crazy.
So how long have you been a Colts fan?
Oh, since Jim Harbaugh days, man.
Oh, man. I'll say 43 max.
Yeah, 43 max?
That's That's a lot. I feel like that's being generous. I would love to see him throw 43 touchdowns. But first, I would love to just see him throw a football at all.
I think he could do 40. I mean, I think
40,
he could completely
whoa,
do 40.
43. Listen, not sure, it's 25 of them going to T.Y. Hilton?
Yep. T.Y. Hilton, you heard it here first, breaking the NFL record for touchdown.
No,
catches.
I mean, here, you got T.Y. Hilton, you got Deion Kane, you got Doris, what's the other guy? You know him, Chris.
Rogers.
He's what's his name?
Chester Rogers, Ryan Grant.
No, not Chester Rogers. Come on, not Ryan Grant.
Ryan I'm Grant coming off his breakout season of 500 yards and four touchdowns.
No, I mean, I really like Doris Fountain, the fifth round pick that they got out there. I think he had 13 touchdowns last year. He was projected as a third round pick. You know, he had some multi field issues, a lot of things that knocked him down.
I think he could be one of those guys.
Oh man, Greg Odom, that's brutal.
What is his name? George? I think George Odom. Was that
George
guy
Odom? Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. No, I like that you brought up Deion Kane though, because I actually think that for what they need at the number two position, I think his ability slots in there nicely if he can progress quickly.
Actually,
yeah,
like,
and that's what they need. This is a pretty rough looking wide receiver core right now.
Yeah, one of those rookies have to break out. I actually like Fountain a little bit more just off of his raw skill.
All right, let's move on here. And I want to know specifically why the fantasy world is so down on this guy. And you have him at number 17, Jake, and that's Dak Prescott. Oof. Why are people so down on this guy? Because he was great last year before Zeke was suspended and before Tyron Smith was injured.
Because he's not that good. And you want to talk about
but he was great for fantasy.
Like, what does he have now at wide receiver? Allen Hurns is your number one.
Gallup.
Come on, buddy. Like, so it's actually two factors here. I think Dez Bryant got too much flack for what happened last year. I've never been the biggest Dez fan. I've said that he struggles to separate and take over top end corners, right. But he doesn't need to separate. But if you watch, there was somebody that put out, there was three straight plays inside the 5 yard line where it was overthrow, overthrow, throw behind Dez Bryant. And it was all Dak Prescott's fault. So
right.
I just have him as mediocre numbers. And his numbers are almost identical to last year. I actually have him for 277 fantasy points, which is a 4-point boost. It's the names jumping in front of him.
Right.
And that's the biggest factor. Like last year, Matt Ryan was behind him. Patrick Mahomes is going to have a full
Rogers.
Season. Rodgers is coming back. Carson Wentz is coming back. Deshaun Watson is going to have a full season. So he's just getting jumped by people.
I think Eli could even jump him.
I definitely think so. It just depends on if Eli has anything left at this point.
I mean, Keenum, Shermer, come on.
I know. We can say that's what I'm saying. If he has anything left, I just don't know.
Yeah,
if he has Peyton, don't forget, his brother hit the wall and fell off a cliff right immediately after.
Oh, my God. Don't go on a cliff. That was brutal.
All right, let's move into running backs here. So I really like the first one that stuck out to me is about where I'm going to have him ranked. And it's higher than – or sorry, you have him ranked lower than basically every single mock draft I've ever seen this offseason. And that's Alvin Kamara at 11. And I think that's appropriate.
In non-PPR especially, you know, I obviously have him PPR higher. But if you looked at last season, there was a lot of things that broke right for him. And I'm not saying he's not talented enough to have it happen again. But also the touchdown, like to go back 2 years ago when we head into the last season, everybody was saying the same thing about the Falcons. The touchdown ratio has to come back. The touchdown ratio has to come back. Same thing can be argued for Alvin Kamara. The touchdown ratio on his touches, as explosive as he is, has to come back a little bit. You know, so you look at it too, I think 82 receptions for 820 whatever yards it was. I tick back a little bit on that too, especially if you look at the changes in their offensive style with Drew Brees taking the step back, becoming a more run focused, and Ingram starting to get a little bit more involved again when he's being healthy. So I just think it's just more of the efficiency and the usage last year. I just don't see it being as high.
I got to interject here with the Mark Ingram. If you weren't going to, Professor Chris, because, dude, you were down on Mark Ingram last year. And I love the respect you're giving him this year. But Chris and I were like, this time last season, we're like, what's wrong with you and Mark Ingram? You hate him. Are you Sean Payton? Not this year. This year, you have him respectably, 14, I think you had him?
14.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love that you're giving Mark Ingram love finally. But
no,
yeah,
what was my excuse last year? Sean Payton hates him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've always argued for Mark Ingram. I just have always also said Sean Payton just hates him for some reason. Right. Until last year, it finally flipped.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, for someone who's been hated on by his coach, or at least that's how it certainly appears, right. He's been a top 10 fantasy running back in at least PPR for four straight years.
Yeah, every year.
And yeah. I don't really expect that to change. Now, are the rankings that are on rotoexperts.com, are they standard or PPR?
Well, both.
I think you have both, right?
Oh,
right.
I didn't even see this box.
You can click over on the tab. You can even get half-point PPR, too.
I didn't even see that tab. There we go. So you have you love Alvin Kamara.
It's the happy compromise. It's the happy medium. I hate PPR. I hate free points.
I know. Yeah, we know. Yeah,
but it's the happy medium at this point. Yeah, right. Yahoo made it default. There you go.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
And I think Brad Evans leaked that, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he was the first one who came out. All right, let's move on here. So one of them that wasn't in the show notes, but Hoos wanted me to talk about him. Where do you have Rashad Penny?
So
I see him, I guess, at 18 in PPR.
Yes, I have him at 19.5 point PPR. I'm looking right now with standard because I'm defaulting to stand to half point. He's 18 and 9, and then you said he was 19? Or he's 18. That's funny. He's 18, 19, 18. Who jumps him at half point PPR? That's weird. Now I'm curious. Now you're going to make me go back and look at things.
In your rankings, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But in any case, he's around 18 or 19. He's a top 20 running back, and it's not really a concern for me. I do think his biggest issue of why I don't have him for over 1,000 rushing yards, I actually have him 965. I have him for 300 receiving. His biggest issue is pass blocking. I think that's going to limit him to start the season from being a true three-down running back. Man. So in that interim, where pro size is mixed in or wherever else they decide, pro size, just like Bradford, is going to be on the IR come week four anyway. Right. And by that point, hopefully Penny can pick it up, because here's the thing that people kind of overrate too, and you guys will understand this, is when you scout and watch these players, you don't have to necessarily beat Ezekiel Elliott, you know, square up the linebacker and take him out. You just have to be able to chip the guy, you know, just learn what it takes to throw the defender off long enough to give your quarterback an extra second.
Yeah, and that's something that he'll learn in training camp and preseason as well.
Right.
Yeah, certainly. So Rashad Penny at 18, I like it. The next one that stuck out to me was Alex Collins at 24, which seems a little low compared to where a lot of people have him.
24 in what format?
I was looking at standard. Once again, I only
Where's the PPR? I'm switching over to standard so I have him.
Well, I actually
I care about PPR.
Yeah, I only play PPR.
Yeah, I only play
PPR. See, that's why I was doing half-point PPR, because it's the half-point medium.
I only like 3 points.
Let's do half-point. 23.
23? There must be missing an update there with the CJ Anderson news and people sliding around, because I have him at 21 now. So there you go. 21. Okay. There you go. He's right there in that range. I think he's low in RB2 just because it's not so much Alex Collins in and of himself. Like, you know, you brought him up as the guy that rose the most for you, and I actually think that you get a nice testament to what they believe in, the fact that he didn't draft anybody as a real competition to bring anybody in. So it's his backfield. But year after year after year after year after year with the Ravens, I will say this, and maybe this is just me being in the back of my own mind here, it's always the running back you don't want for the Ravens that pops up every single year. Every year. Nobody wanted Alex Collins. Nobody wanted Forsett years ago. Nobody wanted, you know, I forget the other one now. I can't even think of the top of my head, because it's always somebody different. So maybe that's skewing my
in general that probably matters, but I mean I was super high on Alex Collins last year, so I got him pretty much every draft for cheap. I think he could be very much Marshawn Lynch-esque. I mean, I think he could be a top 10 back if he gets a workload. I don't see him getting all the workload, because it's 100% my issue, because I don't ever see Baltimore giving the one guy the ball. I still see Buck Allen being probably a top 36 guy, you know, in PPR, unfortunately. he was, what, 24 last year? I mean, even though in the beginning of the season we're figuring things out, I mean, we might see more Dixon, but I do think we're going to see some of Buck Allen. He's probably their best passing down back. And Alex Collins, I mean, he always was able to just rip one off for 30 yards, 40 yards. I think if you give him the ball, you give him volume, he can be a top 10 back. I just don't think that they're going to give him the volume. But I guess where you are, that's not too down on him, I guess, if you got him at 23. Reasonable. Yeah.
Until they signed DeMarco Murray or something stupid like that.
Oh, man, I would hate that.
Now, well, with the CJ Anderson news, I kind of feel like the Colts are going to go after Murray. Because Marlon, I don't think they want Marlon Mack to be their dedicated first and second down guy.
I think Jordan Wilkins is going to be the guy.
I think that I think Wilkins is the better lead, and I think people are overlooking Hines and what he can bring in, some like a Tariq Cohen type of role for this team. Right. And I don't know that they might not just say, "Hey, Mac, Wilkins, and Hines, fine, we're okay." And then don't forget, they do have the Hall of Famer Kristen Michael on the team right now.
They do. I think a lot of people forget about that. I mean, not for nothing, not last year, but the year before, Kristen Michael was one of the best options for Seattle, and then they cut him. Like, why? He was their best back, and they cut him. So, I mean, not for nothing, he was that guy at some point, as much as people hated on him and made fun of him. But
this is not something we need to analyze. Kristen Michael is going to be completely worthless.
He will be. Sorry.
Face it, Happy. You're not any good.
Exactly. All right. So, I want to get back to Jerick McKinnon. Because you were starting to ramble on about him at the beginning, which I love, but I wanted to say, it's all right. I'm used to it because Hoos does it all the time. So
all the time. Sometimes.
But Jerick McKinnon at 21, I'm assuming Hoos has him closer to top 12.
Yeah.
I have him at 17 and half
point. Oh, well, so, okay, let's make this. Are we looking at half point now? Because
decided.
Okay. Yeah, I might as well.
Okay.
Because we play PPR.
Because full point PPR, you get a few of the guys that jump them that don't really deserve to be there, but they get the boost because it's full point PPR.
Yeah,
100%.
All right, so 19.
Yes. Not 19. Jerick McKinnon is 17, higher.
I'm looking at half PPR and it says 19.
Again, I told you those are like this not updated fast enough.
Look, he's giving you his like real time ones.
I'm in my spreadsheet. Okay. Does it still have the 5-2? Does it still say updated 5-2? That's why they're behind. So there you go.
There you go.
It says, let me see. It says updated 5-7.
Oh, this is shenanigans. I'm going to have to go check it out.
Professor Whatever it is. Chris is such a stickler for numbers and everything.
I'm telling you, man. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm going to go figure out what that is after the show.
Okay. So anyways, let's get back on track.
A sandwich between Joe Mixon and Jordan Howard, 17 and a half point people.
Okay, yeah, 17, I like that a little bit more.
Okay, yeah. And see, the fact is, again, have for 850 rushing, I don't think you're going to lean on him that much because that would be ignorant to do, in my opinion. You're going to get him broken. To go back to what you said before, who says, I think that Breida, I have at 48, is a nice sleeper stash. I liked him last year as well with Carlos Hyde's injuries, just to, you know, put him on your bench just in case if you have the room. But McKinnon needs to stay in the Lamar Miller role, in my opinion, because that's where he's the most effective, and people are going to make the same argument they did for Miller when he left Miami. If he just got another 5 to 6 touches per game, well, he did. And then he wasn't as good anymore. He was still putting up the same numbers with more touches, so he's less efficient. Keep McKinnon in that role, and I think if you look at this team, they're smart enough to do so.
So do you think McKinnon is worth his late second-round draft price in PPR?
No, I would say third, or mid to early third. I mean, if you really want him because you want to take him in the second round, just make sure you don't get sniped, maybe. But I think he deserves to be in the third.
Okay, I like it. Let's move into some of your wide receivers here, and I'm going to start off by asking you where you currently have them ranked rather than looking at the website. Julio Jones, you're pretty high on him at
73rd.
Number two. 73rd, all right. Where do you actually have him?
Amazing.
So, do you really want to talk about Julio?
I do, because according to the website, it says
number two. Yes, it is. I do have him second. Because the fact is, look at his numbers. Positive touchdown regression, everybody. Like the Falcons went so far. This is the argument you make for a lot of players in general. Sometimes, like, hey, guess what? The real is in the middle. Like 2 years ago, the Falcons offense and the touchdown success was off the charts. Last year, they went 180, as bad as everything could possibly go in the opposite direction. I think you find somewhere in between, even a little bit better for Julio specifically, and that's the difference here. You're talking about 95 receptions, around 1,500 yards. You're going to have 7 to 8 touchdowns on any normal season.
Yeah, I mean, really, he's going to definitely take off coverage. You got to pay attention to those guys. I love Julio as well. I mean, he had a down year. He was injured. Most of the season, but a good portion of the season. And he still was, what, 7?
Yep.
Like, AJ Green finished behind him. Why don't we talk about AJ Green? Like, no one talks about the terrible finish AJ Green had. They only talk about Julio, and he was terrible. He was a bust. He was not a bust. He helped me win championships last year and throughout the playoffs as well. I mean, he was solid. I love him at not number 2, but top 5 easily.
Yeah, Julio had a quote-unquote bad season and was still the wide receiver 7.
Yeah.
That's so, amazing. Yeah, so that's not terrible. He's currently going at the beginning of the second round, which is great probably volume. About – yeah, that's good value. I would still – I think I would take Hopkins and OBJ over him maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But Julio at number 2 it certainly can be argued. The next one, I think this guy's got one more top 15 wide receiver year. Where do you have Larry Fitzgerald ranked?
13,
not 23 like the website says.
23?
Okay. Yeah, it says – dude, I'm telling
that's
you, man.
That's standard, I think, though. Was that
standard? Oh, yeah. Is that standard?
I'm looking
standard,
at –
he's terrible.
Half PPR, you have him at 17 at Webster.
Oh, okay, yeah.
17 yep. is still fair, but I think
that's 20, fair.
13, okay, 13. I really
I have
like
him at
that.
23 in non PPR, so that was
yeah, that makes
that's, okay. That's kind of reasonable.
Yeah, like yeah. I said, when I was making the show notes, I didn't even see that
happens.
Box to change it.
Blame Fantasy so. Pros. Like I said, it's all their fault.
Yep, there we go. All right, so Fitzgerald at 13. I guess we don't need to talk about that then because I like that he's got one more top 15. Sammy Watkins, where do you have him ranked?
Sammy Watkins. Now I gotta try to find Sammy Watkins. That's just, so
is
that's
he
never,
ranked?
That's never a good thing when you say I have to find him. So, he's not that bad. He's 28th.
Oh man, that's too high.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Most
whoa,
people would
wait,
have to
okay.
cover.
Well, then let me give you the numbers, and you tell me if these are not reasonable.
No, let me say first okay. off, I like Sammy Watkins, and I'm going to be on your side here. So, I'm going to be on your side. I just think okay. the industry as a whole will be much lower on him.
I'll take the value every day of the week because I have for
where's his value?
61 receptions, 953 yards, and 5.5 touchdowns. That's – I mean, he caught what? 8 on 600 yards last year, and we know he's better than that, and we know he can be a number – probably a great number 1B to a 1A, similar to what he will be now with Tyreek Hill. And guess what? They have a pretty aggressive quarterback coming in at this point. Now, it's not Alex right. Smith anymore. If the one thing I have said about Kirk Cousins' entire career, and everybody that's watched this guy, especially Redskins fans, will understand this, he passes up the easy throws to take the aggressive one downfield right. or somewhere where the guy's triple covered instead of just saying, oh, look, the guy in front of me 7 yards down is wide open.
I mean, his numbers prove it. I mean, that's why he got paid so well. I mean, he's consistently in the top, you know, 5 in passing yards. So, I mean, whatever you want to, you know, I mean, I feel like Russell Westbrook probably does the same thing, right? I mean, like, he oh, knows strategically yeah, what he's doing, you know, but hey, it works for him. He got paid.
I have never owned Sammy Watkins. I'm sorry, never owned Sammy Watkins. I will this year in multiple.
I own him every year, and I still don't know why. But
I've owned him.
I still
yeah.
believe in the guy.
I'm there too, and that's why I just feel like he's burned me way too many times, and there's way too many sleepers I have. I like Kenny Galladay above him. I think Kenny Galladay is probably going to be Anquan Boldin of 2016. They don't have a tight end. He's going to be better than Sammy Watkins, in my opinion.
Oh, no. That
touchdowns.
I do not agree with that. So Sammy Watkins, worth his 7th-round ADP?
Yes.
I completely agree. It's glad to hear someone else talk favorably
and the
about
guy right
Sammy
behind
Watkins.
Him.
People and forget, the guy right behind him.
People forget Pierre Garçon is with the 49ers.
Yes.
And that offense.
Yeah, he is. And, I mean, they paid him, like, a ton of money. Like, a ton of money.
All right, let's move on here. Where do you have Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb is 31. Not that far behind.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
I have
mostly,
him a lot.
Look, 24. Yeah, health. They got rid of Jordy Nelson. My only concern with the Randall Cobb is starting to look iffy even when he is healthy at this point of his career. So I'm just a little bit conservative. Would you say you had him at 20s?
Yeah, I just feel like he had his better years when he wasn't the guy, you know. And
right.
last year he wasn't even the second guy. So granted, but he will be the second guy this year, like off of just, I mean, he's Randall Cobb. They're still paying him. They have Devontae Adams. They're not going to feature these rookie guys. Maybe we'll see them frustratingly get, you know, see them getting targets. It's not going to be Geronimo Allison. I think Geronimo Allison probably gets hurt from all these other guys, these rookies that they
yeah,
signed.
Yeah, what, they drafted 3 wide receivers?
Oh, I thought it was just 2. Was it 3?
They drafted 2 and they picked up 1 and
okay.
Undrafted, okay.
Or undrafted. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Here's what I'm going to say. My concern is I think this could end up turning into a pass-happy backfield.
Right.
Or if not, they do consider moving Ty Montgomery back up to the line of scrimmage for
I did think that. I did think of that.
Half his snaps.
But that I think that still helps Cobb, though. I think that they transition him back into a wide receiver because I do love Jamal Williams. I think they're going to feature him for the most part. But I don't think they're going to take Jamal Williams off the not Jamal Williams. I don't think they're going to take Ty Montgomery off the, you know. He's still going to be out there for most of the snaps. I think he can block.
I have him for more receptions. I have him for 71 receptions and 750 yards, yeah, which is more than last year. But I still I don't see him getting back into that. And maybe I'm too low, and maybe we'll all be wrong, and you'll be right. But the fact he gets back into the 80-plus being the true number two, and they don't have anybody else to contend for that. So I can see that. But it's also the Jimmy Graham factor as well.
So I hate Jimmy Graham. As far as
a person?
Let's hold off on this until we get to the tight ends, because I want to talk about him then.
Sorry.
it's cool. I'm just trying to keep everything organized here.
Yeah, you got right.
So
you
Randall Cobb.
2 minutes in.
Yeah, I know. It's sometimes a lost cause. Yeah. I forgot how energetic you are. All right. So 10th round for Randall Cobb. Good value?
I think that's fair. I'd probably consider him in the 8th.
Yeah, I think I would too. All right, last one I wanted to talk about here. You mentioned his name because he's no longer on the Packers. According to the website, you have Jordy Nelson super low, and I'm seeing him at 51 and a half PPR. So you have him at 52.
And a half point, yeah.
Okay. So I know Hoos is willing to take Jordy in the 4th round, so why is there a huge...
I don't know, not anymore, but I'm still high on him, but not 4th round material anymore. But go ahead.
You want me to go ahead? I was going to let you go ahead because you seem to be...
No, I was going to let Chris go and then you go because he was still talking, but I just got him up with I don't have many there anymore.
So Jordy Nelson is on that same cliff with Peyton Manning. Like, they're hanging out. They're bros now. Like, he found it and he went over the same one. This is like the car in that movie with the two women, whatever it is. So... Louise. Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
Louise. I'm like, which movie are we watching?
But the fact is, like, Jordy Nelson is toast, and I was making an argument for him last year. And even the fact that he was touchdown reliant, at least he was playing with Aaron Rodgers, 6 touchdowns the first 4 games. The dude still never topped 79 yards. And then after those 4 games, he never topped 60. And when Aaron Rodgers came back, granted, it was only one game. There was nothing there between the two. He's going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr, who is the most overrated fantasy quarterback. I love Derek Carr as a person and in real life. If I'm starting a team, 100%. Derek Carr is probably in my top 10. But when you talk about fantasy, he's just not. And the fact is this is Amari Cooper's team, as much as I also hate Amari Cooper in general when it comes to fantasy. I just don't see it. I just don't see the talent left and the opportunity there for Jordan.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that. I mean, I was so much higher, and after just weeks of, I guess, thinking about it, and then they didn't even trade for another wide receiver, so it's just like, oh man, this is killing. But they got Martavis Bryant now. I mean, just like, not that it's all right. I don't want to say Martavis because Bryant is hurting Jordy Nelson, but he's taking targets away. He's taking targets away. Derek Carr, he's not great at all. He's not even good. I want to say for in fantasy, so he's not going to support two wide receivers. He does. One, he does Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree's not there anymore. Gruden's there. They're going to force a board to Cooper. And Cooper's still not going to be that great, I feel. And then Jordy's probably going to be better. Maybe they'll figure it out towards the end of the season. And then maybe they start giving the ball more to Jordy. But this is – I'm just staying away from all of these guys. This is a disgusting wide receiver scenario that after careful thought, I don't want any of these guys. I'll take Amari Cooper in the 4th or – I'm not gonna have them because they'll be picked up way before I will be able to get them.
Yeah, so this is certainly different from when we were doing mock drafts. 100%. When you were excited. This is like only like 2 weeks ago excited to take Jordan in the 4th.
About a month.
Well, okay, semantics. 2 weeks, whatever.
Yesterday, last night, whatever.
Yeah, recently. But he's currently got a 7th-round ADP. Would you take him there, Hoos?
I would, though. I would still take him as high as the 6th round, just because I believe in the fact that he's clearly a talent. The guy was – I don't believe he's Dez Bryant material where I don't even know.
Oh, because Dez still has talent left.
Oh, man, that's nice of you. That's nice of you, Celia. That's nice. But I don't know. Jordy, he's 32. Dez is, what, 29, 30? But I still believe that he's a red zone threat. And Carr could use that. Carr could use that red zone threat. Cooper was not that. Michael Crabtree was laying there with the blood spilling out.
That's why he's a red zone threat.
Well, yeah, but I mean, think about Michael Crabtree. Think about Amari Cooper. What did Cooper do in the red zone? What did Michael Crabtree do in the red zone? What does Jordy Nelson do in the red zone? He's basically Michael Crabtree on that team. But the fact that they added another piece, I can't buy in that he's even Michael Crabtree. So I'm willing to take a risk on him seventh round because he's Jordy Nelson and he could provide high touchdown potential. I'd probably say seven touchdowns tops, but still he can give you that, you know, and maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm still staying away though. I don't think I'm going to have any of them on my team. I don't think I'm going to have Jordy on my team this year.
I'd take Jordy as my wide receiver three.
Four.
Yeah. I mean,
so you said four.
Yeah, I'd want him possibly on my bench. I'd still be taking a shot, despite I don't like it at all, especially with the quarterback that they drafted. But I'd be taking shots on Kelvin Benjamin, Devontae Parker, the fact that he's never going to do anything. But I would still take a shot.
I guess Parker.
I would take the upside. It's funny enough, former Packers, I used to call this the rule a couple of years ago. I got to find out a different way to name this. It's called the Greg Jennings rule. And it was the Greg Jennings rule because towards the end of his career, and especially when he switched teams towards the end, it was, when are you ever starting Greg Jennings? It's like, so stop wasting that bench spot. Go for somebody who could potentially become a top 25 wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be upset at that. I mean, it just smarts. You know, but I mean, a lot of people that step into fantasy their first, second year, they look at the names and it's hard, you know, to look away from names that, like, I don't know. I feel like Doug Martin is probably not, but I don't know. Just because he's the name, I feel like Doug Martin's going to be, I don't know. I feel like he still be drafted. I don't think he should be drafted though, but I still feel like people might draft him.
Yeah, he's got a 13th round ADP right now.
Yeah,
Once again, it's still
right.
Hey, all right, let's go ahead and move into tight ends. So I got two of them here that I want to talk about. And Jake, explain yourself. Hunter Henry at two.
Yeah, so Hunter Henry in half point PPR is four. The fact is, Henry, Antonio Gates finally went away. That's really what it comes down to. And it comes down to the touchdown opportunity. So I have two tight ends with eight or more touchdowns. One's Gronkowski, the other one's Hunter Henry. That's it. The end. And that's why. Has 62 receptions, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns. It just really comes down to this offense. Phillip Rivers is not going to stop throwing the ball. He's not going to start throwing the ball to the tight end position, which is now only Hunter Henry. Thank the dear Lord, we were wanting it all of last season. And then you look at behind him, and the fact is behind him, you have questions one or two directions. You have questions of Greg Olsen nearing the end and not looking great at this point of his career. Same with Delanie Walker starting to take these steps back. Jordan Reed hurt. And then you have Evan Engram, where, you know, Evan Engram without Odell Beckham, and I still love his talent, but is he really going to ascend more than what he did last year and near that touchdown potential? Hunter Henry has very similar reception and yardage totals to everybody behind him, but he's also got a two touchdown gap on pretty much every behind him.
Well defended. I like it. I'm leaning more towards top eight, but I'm still going to have Ertz and Kelsey above him.
Well, I have him there in half and full point PPR.
Oh, okay. Once again, you said fourth.
Yeah, the touchdowns and not. He's number two and non, but that's because the touchdowns skew so much that factor.
I like it. And then the other one, I agree with this one because I think a lot of people are way too high on. I've mentioned this on the show plenty of times. Jimmy Graham. Where have you got him? Still at 10?
11. 11 and a half. 11. Point PPR, so right there.
Yep. I like it.
It's two factors. As you know, Jimmy Graham has never been what he was that 2 years when he was up there with Rob Gronkowski being argued for the first round. Last year was great with the 10 touchdowns, but we're talking about 520 yards. That's not happening with. That's as you talk about touchdown regression. But it also comes down to is the Green Bay Packers just don't use the tight end that much. The last tight end with any significant like fantasy value, Jermichael Finley. I mean, since then, the only one that even sniffed tight end one value was Richard Rodgers. That only became the 8 touchdowns. So maybe you could say Jimmy Graham gets 7 or 8 touchdowns. I just don't see him getting much past 600, 650 receiving yards, and that's why.
Yeah, it's just the same old story for the third straight season in a row. It's Aaron Rodgers never had a quarter or a tight end like Jared Cook. He's never had a tight end like Martellus Bennett.
You can't include Jared Cook in this conversation. He's fantasy death, man.
People were saying that, though. He's never had a tight end like this. He's going to be great.
No, because Jared Cook is Nobody's had a tight end like him unless he's on your team because he's Bigfoot. He shows up two times a year and people think he exists.
Hey, I'm just saying Rodgers doesn't use the tight end.
That's true. Not enough.
All right.
I agree with you both.
So let's go ahead and move into sleepers and busts. And I think we only have time to do – let's just do one of each. So, Jake, give me one sleeper that you've got.
One sleeper? I wasn't even trying to think. Come back to me in a second. I wasn't thinking of this as while we were doing it. I was too busy ranting.
Sleepers for me. Oh, man, this is the worst question you can ask me, Chris. Why don't you give yours? You'll be shorter, and then I'll give you mine, and then I'll try to dial it down.
How deep do you want to go? Because I actually do have a really good sleeper, but he's deep.
Yeah, me too. He's deep.
How deep?
We're talking RB 62.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that. I think that'll be okay. I'm going to kick it off here, though.
Okay.
Because I was already ready. My sleeper, Rishard Matthews. So this is something that you're going to see in the draft kit for those of you guys who are listening when we put it out this summer. This is a guy who gets disrespected year after year. In 2016, 65 catches for 945 yards and 9 touchdowns. 2017, 53 catches for 795 and 4 touchdowns, finishing as the wide receiver 37 in PPR. But his draft position is going to be way later than his counterpart, Corey Davis. Rishard Matthews in a PPR league currently has a 14th round ADP, which I think is just insane, where Corey Davis has worked his way all the way up into the 6th round, and I would much rather have Rishard Matthews. You're going to be able to draft him at least 5 rounds later. I think he's going to put up better fantasy numbers for at least this season. In his 14 games last year, he scored double-digit fantasy points in 7 games. Like, I'm not trying to say that he's going to be your wide receiver 1 by any means, but he's got the ability to finish close to that wide receiver 2-3 spot, and for a guy who's being drafted in the 14th round as your 5th or 6th wide receiver, that's pretty great.
Look, you're not going to hear any arguments from me, Chris. You already know. I think the guy is elite. I say that every year. He's elite. He just doesn't have the opportunities, and that's crazy to most people because they don't see him having the opportunities, but if you watch him, I've watched a guy play ball like every year forcefully because he was here, here in Miami. But after that, I paid extra close attention to him because I still thought that the guy was elite. He fell into a good opportunity. Not so much this year, but yeah, I still like him.
All right. Sleeper, what about you, Jake?
Yeah, so sleeper, I'll give you the higher one real quick. I won't go really into deep of it because we kind of touched on it earlier, but it's Nick Chubb for the same argument of the Latavius Murray situation that I brought up earlier, so you could always go look for that. But deeper-wise, I'm going to give everybody, and this is the one that I'm telling everybody, I don't draft handcuffs, but if you're looking for upside late and you're looking for that position, and if you are in a position where you do own David Johnson, it's Chase Edmonds because Chase Edmonds, if he went to a bigger school – and didn't have the wear and tear on his body. I will say that. There's the one concern is he got a lot of touches with a little bit of an injury concern in college. But the other thing I said about him in the pre-draft write-up is if he went to a bigger school, he has talent on par with some of the guys that I had in my tier 3 of running backs. That situation, if you're looking at who's behind David Johnson, we know the rest of the running backs there are a mess and not worth much of anything. If David Johnson happens to get hurt again this year, Chase Edmonds will have RB2 value.
I like it.
What do you got for I was going to ask Jake what he had for wide receiver.
Sleeper or bust? Another sleeper? I thought we were doing one of each. See, I listened
to
you.
Are we doing 100% one of each?
Yeah, we're doing one of each.
I thought you meant position.
Listen to the damn host of the show.
I thought you said one period, one sleeper period. That's it.
Yeah, like, reading comprehension, listening comprehension. I wanted us to do one of each, I guess, per position. I guess I'd say Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones, 30 in offense. Marvin Jones, he's gonna be a beast for you this upcoming season. He's matchup proof, unlike Julio Jones. That was Julio Jones, by the way. He's going to be matchup proof. He has been matchup proof. He showed Xavier Rhodes, you know, like who was boss, you know, Tony Danza style, unlike Julio, going back to him. Even though I love Julio, you know, this is not shade towards you, Jake. This is what I had to say before that. But I love Marvin Jones. I love his opportunity. Even though I love Kenny Galladay, I'm kind of fading on Golden Tate a little bit. And I love Marvin Jones in this third year of this offseason, this upcoming season. And, yeah, I'd like him to be a wide receiver one.
I don't think he'll do it for a second straight year. Do you have him? Where do you have him?
Marvin Jones? I have Marvin Jones, wide receiver 24 and half point PPR.
Okay. So you don't think he's going to finish as the number 10 overall?
See, this is another one where he gets leaped.
This is top 12, actually. Sorry. This is 12, man. I don't do some mailings.
Yeah, so he gets leapfrogged. Like, I got him leapfrogged by a healthy Allen Robinson. I got Demaryius Thomas bouncing back, Juju Smith-Schuster taking a step forward. So it's not that I really don't like him. It's just kind of one of those. It's another leapfrog situation. I mean, I'll have to go in depth on it, but I mentioned what my wide receiver sleeper would be earlier with Pierre Garçon.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's move into a bust. So, Jay, give me one bust for this season.
I see Cy McTrackman. So are we doing wide receiver and running back, just to be clear?
Oh, I said, no, we're doing one sleeper and one breakout.
That's what I thought.
I just said bust. There you go. One sleeper, give me one breakout.
One bust player. So everybody who follows me knows this. The bust of running backs is Derrick Henry. There's not even a question in my mind because everybody's just like, oh, my God, Derrick Henry. He's got the backfield to himself.
That's my number one bust as well.
See, there you go. Derrick Henry. They brought in Deion Lewis, who's going to probably split 50-50, if not maybe even be a little bit more of the lead. Let's just, for argument's sake, say he's not the lead, and he's just the change of pace and getting 40-45% of the touches. That still puts Derrick Henry as a fringe RB2, who also I have the concern with was what is he going to do when he's got a full complement of touches. On the one side, I'm going to give a positive and negative here. On the one side, he is the guy that in the fourth quarter people are bouncing off him because they can't keep up with the guy's ability, his talent, and his speed to tackle him. But on the flip side of it, he's also a guy like Brandon Jacobs here. If he doesn't get to the line of scrimmage, you swipe his legs out, and he never gets going, and you tackle him before he gets anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's certainly – I even like Akron Wadley. So I like that. I like that pick, especially to be a bust, because them adding Wadley especially speaks terms of being a bust to me.
Yep, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Deion Lewis, if he plays all 16, is going to outscore Derrick Henry in all formats.
Yep. Who's your bust, Chris?
I said Derrick Henry. And by the way, I thought we were going to do breakouts, but let's do busts instead. My bust is purely probably going to be based on the ADP, and that's Deshaun Watson. Choosing Deshaun Watson to be a bust, like I said, has everything to do with his average draft position. He's being drafted in the second and third round in almost every single mock. He has an ADP of the third round right after Aaron Rodgers, and that is just way too high on me. The fantasy community certainly only remembers what he did in weeks 3 through 6, where he was absolutely amazing, 18 touchdowns in a period of 5 games. That kind of pace is absolutely unsustainable. And coming off a bad ACL tear, which is his second one, there's a decent chance he might not be able to be as mobile. He can easily finish as a quarterback one. I'm not saying I hate the guy or anything, but maybe closer to the 7 to 10 range, in my opinion. And that's certainly a guy that's a bust if you draft him in the third round. All right, who's giving me ears?
So many guys. But Adam Thielen's my bust just because it's a different coordinator. I don't see him being that number one guy. I see Diggs stepping in, even though I kind of think he's being drafted too high as well. So I would say Diggs and Thielen, but definitely Thielen. I think he's going too high. I just don't see him producing the same way he did. There's too much anomalies that are just different. So I can't buy into him this year at all. I think he's going to be a bust for you. He's probably not going to be on any of my fantasy teams unless I'm drafting him to trade him with another piece that someone might like in order to upgrade at another position.
Now, Jake, I see you, at least according to the website, you've got Thielen ranked as 9th in half PPR. Is it different today?
He's 10th in half point PPR.
10th, okay. So you like him more than Hoos does.
Yeah, I definitely do. I do believe in the talent and the situation. And as you were talking, Hoos, and I was thinking back, I was drawing a parallel earlier. And you guys didn't correct me in the way that, like, I understand, like, you probably understood where I was going, but the Kirk Cousins Kansas City thing with the fact that it probably sounded like at Kirk Cousins in Kansas City. You guys should have been like, wait, you mean Patrick Mahomes? It's, in any case, with the Sammy Watkins thing, now you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you were talking
about.
Okay.
I
knew you were talking about Mahomes, but you had just been talking about Cousins before that, so maybe the transition wasn't
super. So for everybody that's still listening to this point and understanding, so the fact
Jake
is
– does know that Kirk Cousins
is on the – and that's where I'm going with this, is I like Adam Thielen, believe in his talent. Everybody in the entire fantasy – I don't care, NFL world, everybody missed on him because nobody was talking about him. The talent's finally there that we do see. He has Kirk Cousins, unlike Patrick Mahomes with Sammy Watkins. But if you look at it, the numbers he was able to put up with Case Keenum, I think he can pretty much put those numbers up with Kirk Cousins.
All right, let's do breakouts here. Give me one breakout player and one sentence.
Ooh, one sentence.
That's too hard, man.
One sentence. Yeah, well, we're running out of time.
All right.
We're pushing it here.
All right, I think I got one sentence. All right. The easy pick would be Corey Davis, but I'm going to take Joe Mixon because the talent is amazing and they addressed the offensive line.
I like it. Hoos.
Ricky Seals Jones. They love him.
He didn't give you a word limit.
I like it. And even though it's a guy I've never really liked and I don't buy into the hype and I didn't buy into the hype the last 3 years and because I just didn't believe in him, I'm doing a run-on sentence here. That is Devontae Parker. Tannehill's favorite target is gone and there's 161 targets that need to be replaced. Amendola and Albert Wilson are not going to do that. Put some semicolons in there. You got one sentence.
Right?
All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up here. So as you guys listening know, Sleeper Wire is a charity, and we are dedicated to making a difference in people's lives. That's the whole reason we do the show, the whole reason we do the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am, which we talked about at the beginning of the show. To enter for a chance to play in the Pro-Am, it is easy. Go to www.gofundme.com/RobJR and donate. Every multiple of 10 bucks gets you a raffle ticket for the Pro-Am, so 10 bucks and it's one ticket. $30 and you get 3 tickets, and so on. Go to sleeperwire.com/proam for more details. All right, Jake, why don't you tell our listeners where they can follow you and support you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, myriad of places. RotoExperts.com is where you can read this stuff. If you go check out the On Target podcast, which you can get on iTunes and Stitcher and Audio Boom and all that nonsense, you can go find it anywhere. That's the podcast. And then the Fantasy Sports Network, or if you watch the YouTube show and listen to the Fantasy Radio side of things, I do stuff during the days as well. So if you don't follow me on Twitter, just follow me on Twitter. All the links are there.
Right.
Love it. Love it. And you can follow us on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show, at Seymour Sleeper Wire, and at Sleeper Wire Hoos. You can find us on Sleeper Bot at Professor Chris and Prophet Hoos, and on the Fantasy Life app at Professor Chris and Hoos the Prophet. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
We want to thank you for listening to the Sleeper Wire Show, the most interactive and accessible fantasy sports podcast out there right now. If you want to reach us anytime, you can join our new Facebook group. Just search for Sleeperwire Fantasy Football Club on Facebook groups. Join us there. Find us on the Sleeperwire channel in the Sleeperbot app. We're on the Fantasy Life app, and you can go to our webpage, sleeperwire.com. Look for the advice section. You can send us email questions. We answer within 24 hours or less. Oh, and lest I forget, we do 2 live shows a week during the season, the Wednesday Mail Sack and the Sunday Morning Blitz, where we answer your questions and take your calls live on the air. So keep in touch with us all year through these ways and more, only on the Sleeper Wire Show.